Okay, we are studying the prayers of the saints, and we learn up to now, if you are a child of God, and if you are living according to the will of God, God will answer your prayer. And if you go against the will of God, God will not answer your prayer, but you will be punished. And that's what we learned last week. Today we are going to learn from 1 Kings chapter 17, and we're starting from verse 1. You know the story about Elijah. We're going to study a little bit about Elijah today.
And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word.
We don't know much about this prophet, but only one thing we know, that this man is a man of God. You need a lot of courage to say this. This has to have faith to say this, because God did not tell the king that 3.5 years, the rain won't come. Didn't say anything like that. But this man says to king, as long as I say there won't be rain, there won't be rain. When I say there will be rain, there will be rain. So you can see the faith of this prophet is too strong. In the Bible, there are so many prophets. We don't have time to talk about every prophet. You talk about Moses and other leading prophets. But if you go to the James chapter 5, and if you read from verse 15 or 16, there is a passage about the prayer. In that passage it says, Elijah was just like ordinary man like you and me. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months.
He says that Elijah was just like ordinary man like you and me. But when he prayed, God answered his prayer. Go back to the king. So here, Elijah had a lot of faith. So the James is saying Elijah was a man of faith. And so he's encouraging, if you have faith like Elijah, you can do the same, or you can do even more. Okay, let's read 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 2 to 6.
And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be, that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook.
When Elijah said to Ahab the king, there will be famine, and God agrees to Elijah. God did not say, did I tell you? But the word of God says, God makes the prophet's word real. And then God says to Elijah that I have prepared a place for you. He tells you to go to one brook where the water is. And he says, I already commanded a raven to bring you food. Now, Elijah did not say anything to God, I don't believe that raven can bring food. Raven is the one kind of bird steals the food. He doesn't bring food to somebody. But God says, I have prepared the raven. And he says he will bring the food in the morning and in the evening. And this was not for one day. Bread and the meat. Now, when you get the bread and meat, becomes hamburger, right? So the hamburger was invented in the time of Elijah. And so there, he brings the hamburger morning and evening until the brook's water is dried up. Start reading from verse 7 to 14. Now, even here also God says, he has prepared a person to feed him. Go ahead.
And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee.
He said, I have commanded one widow woman to help you and feed you. Elijah didn't know who the lady will be, but he's going by faith. We have to learn something from this prophet. When God tells him to go to that brook and I'll send the raven to give you food, he did not argue. He went there, he ate the morning and evening. When the water finishes, he said, now you go to that widow's place. And that widow is not even Jewish widow. He's Gentiles. So he's sending to Gentiles territory. Go there and stay there. And I have already commanded her to give you the food. Let's read further.
And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in the barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die.
Okay, now here the situation. God said to Elijah, I have prepared a lady, the woman can feed you. And he didn't know who the lady was. So he guessed it, the lady is going to prepare some kind of food. So he says to her, could you give me a glass of water? She said, okay. While she's going, he said, bring me a little bit cake or pancake or bread or whatever. And then she told him, listen, we don't have food. Only thing I have, little bit flour, and a little bit oil, and we are going to eat, and then we are going to die. But God had the plan for the lady, and so see what prophet tells her.
And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth.
So here, he said to the lady, Give me the food, and you will not have any shortage of food. And the lady was not even Jewish. He wants her to say, okay, my God is able to feed you until all the famine. Give me some food. And according to that, she already gave, and she did not have any problem, shortage of any food. So here we see, if sometimes some people listen to this passage, and before what the man is saying, they make a judgment. They are going to say, what kind of prophet is this? The lady said, I have a little bit flour and a little bit oil. We are going to make one or two pancakes or bread. We are going to eat and we are going to die. He said, no, bring me first. And then make it for you and for your child. People might be thinking he is so selfish. He wants first. But what the Bible teaches, when you put God first, then God supplies your need. Because God told Elijah, I have prepared a lady, a widow, she's going to feed you. So he had the faith. So he told her, and then lady was able to give him food. Now, we are going to go to the chapter 18. Now, this big chapter, but we are going to read only a few verses. Start reading from verse 21.
And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I, even I only, remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under, and I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose ye one bullock for yourselves, and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered, and they leaped upon the altar which was made.
Ahab's wife was worshipping Baal god, foreign gods. And so Elijah starts saying, how long you're going to have this kind of opinion? You have to make sure which is the real God. And this another God's name given, Asherah, his prophet, all of them came together, 450, and then other gods, all these prophets, not ordinary people. These are the people gathered together, and then Elijah said, okay, we are going to do this. We are going to give one bull. Don't put the fire there. Cut the bull. Pray. Fire should come from heaven and consume the offering. And then we will believe that your God is real God. And they did morning until evening. Nothing happened. Let's read further.
And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a God. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awake.
Now here Elijah make fun of their God. He said, maybe your God is God. He might be in journey, he might be walking, he might be sleeping. So you better wake him up. So what he's trying to say, shout a little louder. Then your God might hear. And see what these people start doing.
And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets, till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice.
Okay, now here what happened. These people cried from morning until the afternoon. Nothing happened. So that gives us some kind of signal. You don't have to be afraid of foreign gods. When I was in India, I used to give challenge. Pray in the name of your God and see if something happens. If not, I'm going to pray in the name of Jesus. And if something happens, believe Jesus. Their God doesn't listen. You don't have to worry about their God has no power to do anything good. So the point I'm making, God is trying to tell us there is only one God And our God is so powerful, He listens to the prayers of the saints. So the man of God had so much courage, he said, do whatever you want to do, shouting, crying, killing themselves, wounding themselves. You have seen some how these Muslims and some Hindus, when they do this kind of prayer, they beat their bodies and, you know, bring blood and everything, put it on a head or chest or back and bleed to death, thinking that their God will be pleased. But nothing happened. Let's read a little bit further.
And it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice, nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar, as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid him on the wood, and said, fill 4 barrels with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time, and they did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time, and they did it the third time.
3 times he poured the water, and everything is now drenched with the water. Okay, go ahead.
And the water ran round about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass, at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, the Lord, He is the God, the Lord, He is the God.
Everyone who was there, they were convicted. This is the real God. But Elijah was not finished yet. Elijah said, Lord, you said it. According to that, I did it. And now you do the things what you're going to do. And God heard Elijah's prayer. And when the prayer is answered, Elijah was not finished. I don't know if God told him to kill this prophet or not, but let's read.
And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them. And Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink. And Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees.
Now see, the king was there. King saw all this miracle. Now he says to the king, you better go eat and drink, because they were whole day seeing what these people were doing. So they might be tired and hungry. Elijah also was hungry. His servant was also hungry. But he said to king, you go and eat, because I hear the sound of the rain. There was no rain for 3.5 years. But he believed in his heart. He said in the early, if you remember, chapter 17, verse 1, he says, as long as I say there should not be rain, there won't be rain. When I say there will be rain, there will be rain. So now he's saying, this is the time to tell this king, rain is coming. And there was no thunder, there was no lightning, but he said, I hear the rain ringing in his ears. That's called faith. Okay, go ahead.
And said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, Go again 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time that he said, Behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand. And he said, Go up, say unto Ahab, Prepare thy chariot, and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not.
He tells his servant, Go and look towards the sea, there in the mountain, and see if there is any cloud coming. He went 1 time, nothing happened. He said, Go again. How many times did he send him? 7 times. The servant might be tired. He might be saying, How many times I have to tell you there is no cloud? But servant did not argue with Elijah, and Elijah was not disappointed. He knew that when I say rain, there will be rain. And I already told the king, Go and eat, the rain is coming. So 7 times, when he saw the small cloud, like a palm of the hand size, is rising up. He said, That's enough. I got it. Now, do you know sometimes we see so many clouds, still there is no rain. But he saw a little bit cloud, palm of our hands, and he said, Tell him, Go, otherwise the rain is going to come. And so, rain is not going to stop. Now it's coming. So you better go. And he has the chariot, the horses, so they can go as fast as they can. And so he gave the order, just looking at the small palm of our hand cloud. For that, you need a lot of courage. If that man runs with a chariot and no rain comes, he might come back and kill the Elijah. He was not afraid of king. Go ahead.
And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel.
Can you imagine? And he started running after the chariot was already on the way, and he ran faster than the chariot and reached there. So you can see how much power God gives to his servants. We should not underestimate God. Sometimes people hear some news here and some news there, and they get panicked. But Elijah said, I already predicted that when I say rain, rain will come. And according to that, he said, You better go, take your chariot and go. We are not going to stop the rain for you once the rain starts coming. And he ran faster than the chariot. And that's what we see, the power of God, and how can God give you power stronger than the horse. That's what the word of God says, My servants, they will run and they will not get tired. They can walk or run and they will not faint. The word of God came true here, what the Elijah did. Okay, now we are going to go to the chapter 19 and start reading from verse 4.
But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers.
Okay, now somebody said, What happened to him all of a sudden? Because I don't have time to read the whole thing. So here, Ahab's wife was idol worshiper. When she found out all her prophets are killed, she said, I am going to kill Elijah now. So when he heard that, he ran for his life. And now, I don't know how far he ran. You know, he ran faster than chariot. He is tired and sitting under the tree and start thinking, Lord, I'm not worthy to live. I'm not better than any other prophet. Now he knew God did miracles, and God can protect him from that Jezebel's hand. Or he could say, Jezebel be killed. Can happen. But now the fear enters into his spirit. So once the fear comes, then you are not able to do anything. There was another man John the Baptist. John the Baptist gave the testimony about Jesus. He says, "Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world." And he said, "I didn't know him, but God revealed to me, this is the one who is going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." And he said, "I didn't know that, but God told me the Spirit of God will come upon him, and that's the person." And he saw, he witnessed. When he was in a prison, he doubted. He sent his two disciples to Jesus. He says, "Are you the one, or we look for somebody else?" Why this happens? Once you have trials and tribulation and death coming to you, because he knew that death is coming. Somebody is going to kill him. But Jesus Christ said to them, "Go and tell what the miracles are happening." And then they went back and convinced him. But the point I'm making now, Elijah here is afraid. He's running for his life and he's tired and he's saying, "Lord, kill me." Let's read a little bit further.
"And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat."
The word of God says, God gives his servant in a sleep. Now this is the words we can prove it to somebody. Now he is sleeping, tired, angel comes, wakes him up and say, "Eat." Now see how he, angel, where he got the food. Last time the raven got the food for him. The other time the widow gave the food for him. Now the angel is bringing the food. And he says, "Go ahead and eat." See what happens. Read further.
"And she looked, and behold, there was a cake bacon on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again."
Okay. Now when the angel says, "Get up and eat," he saw the cake. He says cake so it can be bread or food. And got the fresh water. And he went to bed again. Tired. You can see how much tired he was. And he went to bed again. Go ahead.
"And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee."
Now here again, second time, angel comes, wakes him up, and he says, "Eat, because you are going to go for the long journey." And so he eats. And let's see what happens.
"And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God."
Can you imagine? That food was so nutritious, you can eat that two meals and can live for 40 days and 40 nights. Nobody invented that pill yet, and nobody invented that food yet. But God has that kind of nutritious food. You eat God's food, you can live for 40 days and 40 nights without a problem. Okay, let's read.
"And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. For the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away."
Now here he comes. And he says, "I am so frustrated, I am so angry. All the Israeli people's prophets are killed and I'm left myself alone." And he's complaining. God says, "Elijah, why are you here?" So he's complaining. This is what, this many days journey, and he came there to the mountain, and then God asked him a question. Now see what happens. And then same thing, God asked him another time, the same question.
"And he said, Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice.
Okay, now what God was teaching him, he said, go and stand there near the rock and I will talk to you. So here what happens when he goes there, the rushing wind came and he thought maybe God is there to talk to me. There was nothing. Earthquake came, he thought maybe God is in this earthquake. There was nothing. Then the fire came, he thought maybe God is going to talk to me through the fire. Nothing. Then everything calms down and he says, now everything finished, then say a still small voice. God is talking to him so softly. Go ahead. Not like a rushing wind or thunder, but very small, quiet voice.
And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away.
Okay, now see, Elijah might be thinking, does God understand anything? Because first he asked me, why are you here? And then he showed me all this miracle and all this God's power God showed, and he was thinking God might be in there somewhere for me. But there was nobody there. And then small voice came to Elijah and then repeated the same thing. Elijah, what are you doing here? He might be thinking, why have to repeat twice? I already told one time. Why God is asking me second time? The sometimes people thinking God doesn't understand me. But God knows everything. God wanted to give the lesson to Elijah. Elijah, why are you so afraid? Why are you so afraid of your life? Why are you running from the one lady's voice? God's word can break the mountains and earthquake and the fire. God can do anything. Elijah simply has to say, let the fire come from heaven and destroy the Jezebel. So why are you here? Why cannot you use my power? You used it before, right? Why can you use my power? Why are you here? And he's saying, you know, all the prophets are killed and I'm the only one and they are seeking my life. And this is what happens when you have a problem. Or anyone has a problem, they're thinking, nobody's here. Where is God? He was looking for God in the wind. He was looking for God in the earthquake. He was looking for God in the fire. It's no God. Sometimes when you have a problem, you say, where are you, God? When I have a problem, all my relatives, all my friends, all my co-workers and my husband, my children, everybody, they left me. Where are you, God? And that's the situation happens when you are frustrated. And this is what he's frustrated. He's saying, nobody is with me. All the prophets are killed. And I'm alone, left. What God says to him. Read the following verse.
And the Lord said unto him, go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him.
Can you imagine? He said, Elijah, your job is not finished. You have to anoint the king, anoint the prophet, anoint the Elijah, and he will be taking over. But until then, don't think that you are alone. He might be thinking, I'm going back, and I have to do all of this work, and the king finds out, he will kill me, and Jezebel will kill me. He said, no, no, no. There are 7,000 people of God, they never bow down their head to the Baal God, and they are there. So don't think I am alone. Sometimes when we say I am alone, God says, not you are not alone. Somebody says, even the whole world is one side and his God is with you, you are majority. You don't have to be worried. God is saying, I'm with you. And there are 7,000. If you don't understand, there are 7,000 people never bowed down their head to the Baal God. So you are not alone. So God comforted him and told him he is not alone. Read up to 21.
So he departed thence and found Elisha the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, go back again, for what have I done to thee?
He saw this man doing the farm work. He comes and put his mantle or his some kind of clothes, and the man followed him. And he knew this is a call for the ministry. But he says, can I go to my family and say goodbye so I can follow you? You remember similar situation? One man came to Jesus and he says, I want to follow you, but let me go and bury my dad, and then I'll follow. What Jesus says, let the dead bury dead, you follow me. His father was not even dead. If father was dead, then Jesus Christ would go and raise him. But he wanted to stay there until his father dies and bury and then come. So similar way, Elisha said, you know what? I want to follow you, but let me go and say goodbye to my family. Sometimes people might be thinking, why are to be so harsh? If you're serving the Lord, you have to take care of your family. You have to take care of your mom and dad. Why God is so cruel? And the man of God is so cruel that he's telling him to follow me. He did not say a word. He just put the mantle and so walked away. And he followed him. He said, okay, I want to come and work with you, but let me go and say goodbye.
And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him.
I didn't say anything to you. You want to come? Come. You don't want to come? Don't come. So he killed the oxen, cut the wood, and did the sacrifice. Needs a great, great faith and courage to do that. He didn't say what my mom will say, what my dad will say. You want to go and follow the Lord? Why are you destroying my bulls and my bull's cart and everything and setting a fire and doing some kind of sacrifice? Why don't you leave everything and go? But you know, this man thinking, this is my job, this is my work, it's done. I'm not going to do this work again. I'm going to follow the Lord. And that's what he did. Jesus Christ said to his disciple, forsake all and what? Follow me. And the disciples forsook everything and followed Christ. And when Jesus Christ died and rose again, and Peter didn't know where Jesus Christ is because he was not with them every day. So Peter says, let's go for fishing. They give up the fishing business. And now after the resurrection, they're going for fishing. So Jesus Christ comes to them, and it's a long story, I don't have time. And he says, do you love me more than this? He said, yes, I love you. Three times he said. Then he says, follow me. In the beginning he said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And he followed him. This time he says, follow me and now you're going to be pastor. You're going to take care of the sheep. So he's saying, now you're going to be a shepherd. Before that, he said, you will be a fisherman, catching the fish. Now he said, now when you catch the fish, means the people, now you make them mature in the Lord. Give them the teaching and let them follow you. So here what happens, this man, when God's call came, he gave up everything And he destroyed his business, what he was doing. He said, I'm not going to do this business again. Once you made up your mind, then you don't go back. There is a song we sing. I have decided to follow Jesus. And what? No turning back. Some people, they go for a wedding, go to the court, and get the marriage form and everything, and they get married. And while going, they take another form for divorce. So why are you taking this? In case the marriage didn't work, so we get the divorce form with it. That is not the real commitment. So once you follow the Lord, no turning back. Once you get married, no turning back until death. So this man, when he followed Elijah, and we will be learning more about him, he was dedicated. I have given up these things, even though you didn't want me to go and look at my mom and dad. He says, what has to do with thee? And he might have looked at him, don't you know the calling of God? So he got the message. He didn't go to mom and dad. And he did everything, sacrifice, and follow the Elijah. That is called the dedication. When I got the calling for the ministry, when God called me, I talked to my boss. I said, God is calling me. And he said, you know, somebody's brainwashing you. You're so young. Wait until you're 50 years old and then go. I convinced him. It's a long story. I convinced him I have to go. He said, okay, bring somebody like you. And he let me go. I came home. I talked to my dad. I said, Dad, God is calling me and I want to give up everything and give up Bombay City, go somewhere and serve the Lord. And he said, in a Bombay City, millions of people are there without God and without Christ. Why can't you tell them? Why have to leave the Bombay City? I said, Dad, you are the servant of God. What the Bible says, first son, you dedicate to the Lord. So I said, okay, I give you to the Lord. Go wherever you want. Then my mom said, okay. She held my hand and started crying. She said, I'm not going to let you go. Your boss will say go. Your dad will say go. I'm not going to let you go. I said, Mom, wait a minute. Four brothers and two sisters died. Their four brothers were younger than me. Two sisters were they older than me. So six people died in a family. Why could not stop them dying? She said, how can I stop them? This was the will of God. So I said, if I break the will of God, disobey God, and listen to you, and stay tonight here, and if I die tonight, can you hold my soul? She said, no. Then I said, let me go. And so my mom and dad say, okay, you go and do the Lord's work. And that's the way I started my ministry. So point I'm making, once God calls you, you don't have to ask somebody's opinion. I did not ask their opinion. I said, I'm going to go. If I would have said, can I go, Dad? And Mom, what do you think? Boss, what do you think? If you start asking their opinion, they will say no. If you ask your friend, they will say no. When I wanted to come to USA, and I did not ask my brother's opinion, I said, I'm going to USA. He said, don't go. We have lots of work in India. Why are you going? And my ministry was flourishing. He said, why are you going? I said, you don't have the clue. Because God has called me to go to America. So from America, I can reach the whole world. From India, I cannot reach the whole world. He didn't understand. He started opposing. Some of the minister came to me. He said, why are you going? There is Billy Graham, the Warren Robert, and T.L. Osborne, and many, many ministers are there. And what are you going to do? I said, if I go to America and win one soul, that one soul's value is more than the whole world. And so that's the way I came. Before I came, one minister told me to come to his church in India. He said, I'm going to give you 5,000 Indian rupees per week. So means 20,000 rupees per month. Stay. I said, no, I want to go. And when I came here, people start thinking, maybe I came here to make money. I did not make money here. I came here and I never took salary yet since more than 52 years now. Never took one salary and not planning to take salary. When I came here, one of the ministers said to me, we can give you $40,000 and a house, single house, stay and we'll give you the salary. I said, no, God has called me to do his work. So the point I'm making, God has called me with a definite calling. So what? No turning back. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. Thank you, Lord, for giving us grace to study the word. If you could use the Elijah, James already said to us, God use ordinary man. Same God can use each and every believer. Give us that sound faith to do the signs and wonders and miracles in the name of Jesus. And let the people come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Give us grace. We commit ourselves into our loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen.